Shalom, and shalom again. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. Well, since much of tonight's news is seen in the scriptures concerning the end times, my husband Dan suggested he should pray at the beginning, so to seek God's divine protection over this program and over all those who are truly called by his name that stand up for the word of God. Darlin.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we beseech you during these last days of increasing darkness to show us extra favor by supernaturally protecting those who speak out for the truth. Give added courage and dunamis power from your Holy Spirit as we take authority over evil that tries to prevent and stifle what you would have us proclaim. We pray for the unsaved, that many will come to know you before complete darkness falls on the earth. And we redeem our time wisely and not be giving over to the mindless TV, senseless distraction, or the cares of this life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen to that. Well, it appears that very soon we will all have to live under sodomy law. The Supreme Court of the United States will make the announcement as early as next month whether all states, not just individual states as it is now, will have to recognize and then comply to its ruling. Of course, I pray, and so should you, but if it does, all the truly born-again ministers will be required to marry gay couples or face hefty fines or even jail time. We know the days are getting very dark. And since the Bible says it will be as in the days of Lot, so it would seem that the Supreme Court will rule in favor of sodomy. And then many good pastors will likely leave their calling. Which then brings to mind the scripture in Amos 8:11 that says there will come a time when there will be a famine of hearing the word of God. This prophecy is especially meant for the tribulation, but as in everything else, we are seeing the foreshadows of all that right now, especially in the seeker-friendly churches labeled the Laodiceans in Revelation 3, and we're going to be talking about that later. So just what are the days of Lot that Jesus compares the end of days with in Luke 17? Well, you only need to read Genesis to know what went on there and back then. Homosexuality has always been here because Satan has always been here. Now he can repackage it with bright rainbow colors, but it's still black to me. However, don't overlook what else Genesis said in chapter 19, that nothing major could happen with Lot's family until they were taken out of the way first. So that says to me very clearly that although the bride might experience some turmoil and perilous times, he's not a wife beater and is faithful to keeping his promises to the bride, and that we will not be here to experience his wrath that is surely coming on those who refused his great gift of the cross. And don't let anybody tell you that that we are here for the tribulation because it's not the wrath of God that's coming, but rather the wrath of Satan. I recently heard that. No, Revelation is quite clear. It's the wrath of God on the earth, and it will soon arrive. You can read about that in Revelations 14 and chapters 15 and 16, and also in Romans 1, Colossians 3. Now, there is one reference that when the devil is cast down permanently to earth in Revelation 12, he expresses great anger over that. But that is not the wrathful judgment of God used throughout Scripture. And that is a classic example of how mid- or post-tribulation teachers must cloud the truth to justify their view, especially on the pre-trib rapture truth. Okay, enough said on that. Except to say this, I have done my homework on this topic, and I know without a doubt Jesus will meet us in the air, before all the beginnings of sorrows gets full blown. And to make it even more easy for the Supreme Court to make its decision. This is sad. The Girl Scouts of America are now allowing boys who identify themselves as girls to join. This really is a slap in the face to Christian parents. But even more incredible is that President Obama, with his senior top advisor, Iran-born Valerie Jarrett, called for an end to psychiatric therapies that would seek to change the newfound sexual orientation of gay, lesbians, and transgender youth. She made this statement after a petition was started following the suicide of a 17-year-old transgender after her parents forced her to attend therapy. So Valerie Jarrett stated, "The overwhelming scientific evidence demonstrates that conversion therapy, especially when it is practiced on young people, is neither medically nor ethically appropriate and can cause substantial harm. So, as part of our dedication to protecting America's youth, this administration supports efforts to ban the use of conversion therapy for minors." Close quote. Obviously, they want to destroy the rights of parents. Now, we know that America, and in fact most countries, have corrupt, ungodly governments who allow anti-biblical principles to evolve. Hence what we are seeing, including in Israel, where the recent headlines read this. A major city of Tel Aviv in Israel has now been named the world's number one gay capital of the world. Yes, even over San Francisco and New York by a wide margin. Just try to tell me we're not in the days of Lot. And in fact, one website's blog's headline read this: "Israel has forgotten its creator." And when I first read this, I was not only sad, I immediately recalled a scripture that I could not fully understand until lately, and actually it's in Revelation 11:8. Honey, do you have that scripture?
Yeah. Yes. Revelation 11:8, "And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified."
Okay, of course they're talking about the dead bodies of the two witnesses. But what caught my eye 20 years ago when I was teaching Revelation is that Jesus is calling Jerusalem Sodom and Egypt, where our Lord was crucified. So we know it was Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Egypt I understood because one only has to read the Old Testament one time and see how often Israel went after other gods. But now I understand how God can refer to even Jerusalem as Sodom, because Jerusalem also allows and promotes gay pride parades, and they're usually in the fall. So we got Tel Aviv in the spring and Jerusalem in the fall, and it's just really sad. And by the way, I do believe that the fall is probably the season that will also usher in the judgment of God.
Yes. Sad prophecy there, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. And let me say now, because I say it every week, but I want you to understand out there that you really can send me specific questions concerning the end times. And I'm going to ask Dan, can you please tell our listeners how they can do that?
Yes, you can send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And love offerings are very much appreciated and automatically puts you on our paper mailing list for future newsletters. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where past radio and teaching letters are archived, and where you can leave me an email address to receive other timely messages.
That's right. Okay, we are going to continue now to look at some more scriptures that applies to the world today. And so we need to look, first of all, at Isaiah 5. And then there's two more, one in Amos 5:12 and Proverbs 17:23. Do you mind, hon?
I will. Isaiah 5:23. Woe to men who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away justice from the righteous man. Amos 5:12. For I know your manifold transgressions and your mighty sins, afflicting the just and taking bribes, diverting the poor from injustice at the gate. Proverbs 17:23. A wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice.
And you know what? There's at least a dozen more like that. What's so sad is Jesus, as you know in John 6, I think verse 70, he actually called one of his own apostles, Judas, the devil. And later in chapter 8, verse 44, the leaders of his own synagogue, the Pharisees, he said, they are of their father, the devil. So if the devil was so recognized back then, what makes people think he isn't just as vibrant today? There are wolves in sheep's clothing as our leaders in our churches.
Absolutely.
But the church as a whole isn't discerning who they are, or where the blackbirds are nesting, as the parables teach. Demonic activity is everywhere, and it is growing darker. And it has many different classes of these evil entities, as in Ephesians 6. Could you read verse 12?
For we do not wrestle against humans, flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of wickedness in the heavenly places.
That's right. So there's like four different classes of wickedness there.
Yes.
And I said all that to open your eyes to the fact that not only is there corruption in America, and I think you have to agree to that, and probably most other countries, if not all, in the hierarchy, well, it's in Israel too, which we tend to overlook because we want to. But just yesterday, I read where 6 more months will be added to the ex-prime minister, Ehud Olmert's, previous sentencing of 6 years for fraud and bribery. But to me, even worse, President Shimon Peres sold his soul and his country out when he agreed in 1993 to hand over Jerusalem to the Vatican. It's true. You can just Google it. And if you want to find the writings of Israeli, Barry Kamish is his name, C-H-A-M-I-S-H. And he talks all about it, firsthand experience. But corruption is rampant. You know that. Bible predicts it too. And there are many other instances, both here and in Israel, that we can talk about. But I just want you to see how God needs to judge America and Israel, and in fact, the whole world, to clean it up, so to usher in the millennial kingdom. Let's now look at some other pertinent scriptures referring to the days that we are living in. Of course, you all know Genesis 12:3. You are familiar with it, I'm positive. And that's where God says, I will bless them that bless you, talking of Israel, but curse them that curse you. It has become pretty obvious that our president has been, and now really is, cursing Israel. Oh, in spite of the occasional good deeds that he... But listen to what he recently told a journalist at the Atlantic News. He said, the security relationship between the Israel will remain strong. But he reiterated that there will be consequences from Netanyahu's remarks. And of course, this was in regards to Netanyahu saying that there would be no Palestinian state on his watch. which he's kind of recanted since then, but it made Obama very mad. And I reported a few weeks ago that the United States, for the first time, will not veto any resolution the UN does to establish a Palestinian state, who now openly has the blessing of the Pope. So, we can see many reasons for God's alarm clock to go off and Revelation 4 to begin, where John says, after these things, well, of course, chapter 4 is after chapters 2 and 3, which is the church age. So he's saying that after the church age, that means that we have to leave, I looked and behold a gate standing open in heaven, or a door opening in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. After what? Well, after the rapture, after the church age. You see, the church age must end, to go back to that last 7 years of Daniel's prophecy. So, Jesus spoke to John and revealed the entire church age in seven segments in chapters 2 and 3. And I thought maybe we'd go over that a little bit, only quickly. I won't go into detail, but it'll give you an overview. Because when taken in order, it was actually describing another time period in history. In other words, each church was a segment of time, prophetically speaking, and it just holds true to form. It is amazing. So the beginning of the church age was called the Church of Ephesus. His darling church covers the years 32 AD to about 100 AD. At the church, they were gung-ho, but unfortunately they lost their first love, that love of intimacy, that espousal love. Oh, they held on to a tradition and discipled well to others, but lost the hunger to grow closer. Boy, do we see that today too. So then came the era of gross persecution. So the next segment would be the years between 100 and about 312. It was the Church of Smyrna, and it was the persecuted church. And in fact, its name actually means myrrh, which is an embalming spice. Now, the believers were surrounded by a highly paganistic era. You got to know that. Therefore, the Christians were extremely persecuted by the Roman emperors. Jesus, in his letter, told them to overcome by remaining faithful to the end, and so would not undergo. So because of persecution, the church actually grew, and it grew stronger. And I also think of Hosea 5:15, where it says, in their affliction, they will seek me sooner. Anyhow, this church growth made Satan furious, so he came up with a plan to infiltrate with a lot of yeast, till all of it would become leavened, or at least he thought. Hence, we have the next church now, coming in at around 312, called the Church of Pergamos. Now, the word Pergamos actually means mixed marriage. They were integrating with paganism. And because of the Emperor Constantine, they began, again, mixing this paganism with the faith. This was actually the early beginnings or foreshadows of the Dark Ages. The reason there was so much paganism in Pergamos to begin with is because the Babylonian priests were kicked out of Persia when King Cyrus took over back in the 6th century B.C. era. So they moved to Pergamum, way north of Israel, still on the Mediterranean Sea, which explains Jesus' words that there lies the throne of Satan. Because the mother of all paganism, spiritual Babylon, actually moved there. So that kind of makes sense. So Emperor Constantine had a so-called Christian spiritual experience. So he stopped the persecution to make Christianity, or should we say, in name only Christianity, the state's religion, by compromising the two together, So you can see why this church name means mixed marriage. And so now the doctrine of the Nicolaitans is gaining strength, and basically that means where people would start ruling over other people. In other words, they claim that God has spiritually elevated the religious leaders or bishops over the common folk. And they were the only ones to convey the real truth. Very true. But bishops became political and were given places of honor in the government and given the temporal and spiritual keys, temporal meaning worldly, which are on the Vatican flag still today, along with a three-tiered crown, meaning king, over heaven, hell, and purgatory. And then, of course, we have the church. As I said, the Pergamos was the four shadows, and soon it came to full-blown Thyatira in about 606 A.D. And, of course, this represents the Catholic Church, where they had transubstantiation, which, by the way, Article 1374 in their Catholic Encyclopedia says this: in the most blessed sacrament of the Eucharist, the body and blood, together with the soul of Jesus Christ, and therefore the whole Christ, is truly, really, and substantially contained. It is a substantial presence by which Christ, God, and man makes himself holy and entirely present. And it is the conversion of the bread and wine into Christ's body and blood that Christ becomes present in this sacrament. So now the Bishop of Rome had the final say over everything and everyone, soon to be the Pope. And the next church was the church that broke away, and that was Sardis, and that was the first protest. And Sardis' name actually means remnant. That happened in about 1517, and it's still here today. But they broke away from Thyatira for an all-grace theology. But sadly, a dead orthodoxy. No spirit and not looking for Jesus. But then there was another breakaway church, and that's the Church of Philadelphia. And that happened about 1730, and that's you and me. We are in this church. And, of course, this is the Holy Spirit revival time when John Wesley, George Whitefield, and around this time they came to America and birthed the missionaries. And Revelation 3:15 and 16 talks to the Church of Philadelphia and says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot, so then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. This does not have anything to do with salvation. This is, he cannot use you for any kind of service. And finally, the Laodicean church, which is the lazy type church and not motivated to witness, seldom read the word, so there's no power. The people kind of make up their own rules to live by. They need nothing. They're noted for pleasures. And on it goes. So we had to kind of run through those quickly, and maybe next time we'll take them a little more slowly and go over a few of the important ones. But the major question is Jesus still knocking on your door of your heart? That's not good. Get on your knees right away. Invite him in as your Lord and Savior. Grab it while you can. Time is running out. Unless, of course, you prefer to pay the debt for your sins yourself and be left behind. That's not a very smart thing to do. So right now, get on your knees and let me give you the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her shall prosper. And that's not a maybe, and that's in Psalm 122:6. Because when you pray for Jerusalem, you pray for Jesus to come back soon. And he is. So hallelujah. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.